supported Christian radio station, WCNO 89.9 FM, Palm City.
A brother of mine from Jordanian, he resonated exactly what I is in my heart. I said something about the Lord coming back. He says, I hope he doesn't come too soon. I said, why so? He says, because there are too many people don't know him and are waiting for him. I said, I concur. I don't want to beam out of this. Our job and our task is to let people know about the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, who were religious guys, he says, I tell you, the whores and the tax collectors are coming in before you. He didn't say they weren't coming before you. Now, I have a friend who refused. He went to church as a perfunctory duty a few years ago. He recently got a shot. He couldn't breathe at night. He died. He would He said he went to church, but he was there a social. He never believed in Jesus. I believe that at the very last minute, if God so chooses, Jesus can reveal himself. Let me just tell one quick story.
Sure,
we can go on. We can tell multiple stories today.
This guy
was Jewish. He goes in to see his friend. The family says, no proselytizing. You can go in there. Don't be proselytizing. He's in a state of coma. So he goes in. He doesn't even say a thing. He holds his Jewish friend's hand who's in a coma. He prays for his friend. In case somebody listening doesn't understand this, on the day they chose either Jesus or Barabbas. Barabbas was a thief. Once a year, you could pick one man to go free. Yell out to the crowd. You can set Jesus free, who's just healed among you, has hurt no one, or you can set Barabbas free.
And they said,
not this man, but Barabbas. Not this man, but Barabbas. Well, this man in this coma, this Jewish man in a coma state, this friend took his hand, was praying for him internally, not even out loud. And all of a sudden, the Jewish man rose up in bed and said, not Barabbas, but this man fell back and died.
So
all things are possible through God. We have to hope, right?
Listen, the scriptures are full of all things are possible with God. And, we distribute these little audio Bibles, these little, they're called a kulimi. It's a little, we can talk about that later. But, I'm giving one of these to an old guy who's on his deathbed, and the family kind of muttered and mumbled, why are you giving that to him? And, it's kind of like, he's only partially with us and he's partially not. And I said, hey, until he breathes his last breath, we live in hope that God can enter into that man's soul and he can encounter Christ.
We never stop.
And even if somebody's in a coma,
tribalism. Like a guy will come up. There's a guy on all over Facebook right now, all over YouTube, and he's saying that Joel Osteen this and this one that and this one said, what are you doing spending your time? Those guys came along with hanging out with Jesus and said, he's preaching different from you. Shall we call down the fires of heaven and consume them? And Jesus admonished him, said, the Son of Man hath not come to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. Amen. And from that time forward, the next day he said, hey, sons of thunder, how are you doing this morning? That's humor. Now, the point is, who are you to judge another man's servant? We have no right to judge Joel Osteen, who I happen to like, and a lot of other people, and some I don't like, but I'm not God. Who am I to judge God's property?
Here's the thing is, I find myself, I could spend all day in every thought and every writing criticizing and looking at all, there are more distractions, and I'm easily distractible. One of the things about Billy Graham, I'm one of his chaplains, by the way, on his chaplain network.
I interviewed him years ago, and we'll talk about that.
I'd love to have talked to him, but I'd love to have met him, because there are men of God and women of God in history, and even today, it's a joy to have met with them.
Thank you.
One of the things I loved about him over the decades of his simple, thematic, no matter which way he wrote it, he preached it. It was very simple. God loves you, he loves you, he loves you. And he sent his son that you can know. That's a simple gospel message. And what happens is the church loves complexity. This is the problem with the Pharisees. They went back to the law. Paul warned the church about that. You're going back to the law. And we want to put, when we suddenly lose the simple gift of salvation.
And Paul had been a lawman. He had been a Pharisee, right?
Yeah, and he knew the entrapment of it. And so what we also find is that people want to know that they're doing it right. He's doing it right. This church is doing it right. We're looking at horizontal efforts of man. We need to go vertical, and we need to realize that the only one who's doing this right is the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit. His Spirit speaks. He leads. And this is who we need to be a part of. Just to go back to your point about some of these loves. You remember the story where the rich young ruler came to him, and he says, I've kept all these requirements. Well, Jesus placed upon him one more, and that was go and sell all that you had. Was that a requirement of every follower of Jesus? No. Jesus knew in that particular instance, this man had a greater love.
But he bowed his head down and walked away with his tail between his legs because he had much. Can you imagine if that fella can look back in time and see that he was asked if he wanted to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, and so we got a lot to discuss today. By the way, about Billy Graham, Dr. Graham, I want to say this.
I love circles. By the way, this is the way oral people process. They speak in circles.
Yeah.
So I love this. I grew
rabbit
up in
holes,
oral
et cetera. Okay, good. We'll get along fine. So with Dr. Graham, now I have to say this, and I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, and I go to a men's group. It's all men, prayer group, a Bible study. And I look around sometimes and I say, there isn't a man here that compares with Dr. Graham. Now, let me explain that. Dr. Graham, now I didn't have a father. My father was killed when I was very young. So maybe I'm particularly sensitive to that. But it was at Jeb Bush's inauguration. I prayed to the Lord. I said, if you don't give me Dr. Graham, I believe you have not been in my life. Somehow I had favor with this guy who's a big, tall, 8-foot guy. He said, I'm look like a Philistine. You'll find me in the crowd. We'll go back and we'll get Dr. Graham. We got to the, well, anyway, I'm interviewing Dr. Graham. He was so in the moment. Mm. He was
present.
All about, yes, and he was all about me and the people we were talking about, nothing about self. Matter of fact, he looked at me, we're doing an interview, he goes, are you okay? I said, what do you mean? He says, your face is all red. It had been a blustery cold day in Tallahassee. Now, this may not mean much to you or anybody listening to this, but I never had a dad. So I chewed on this for years, the way he interrupted himself and said, are you okay? And I realized I felt that he was more concerned with me like a father would be to his son.
Oh.
He didn't give a dang about the interview, but...
That's lovely, isn't it?
But he had an uncommon humility. Now, you say you're 58. I am 68 at the recording right now. He had more humility, I'm sure, at 21 than I do at 68. Why? How does somebody get that? How is it that, if you watch his preaching, we went to the Cove. Have you been to the Cove?
I have.
Great. They showed that video of him preaching. He never is accusing. He's never saying he's holier than thou. He said, the Bible says this about us. We are like this. And if you're like me, and there was never any accusation or no arrogance suggesting that he was holier than anybody in that audience.
And I totally agree. The difficulty with humility is once we begin to claim we have it, it just left.
I broached the subject.
No.
This is a true story. Yeah. I broached the subject with Dr. Graham, and he looked at me, he leaned in, he goes, well, Rhett, if we're talking about it, we haven't got it. I quickly changed the subject and moved along.
Well, I'll tell you where I begin to get a glimpse of it. When we bow a knee, daily to this old man, the self, the proud, arrogant Clive. And this is a difficulty in ministry. It's difficulty as a pastor. It's difficulty as a full-time Christian missionary. It's very difficult not to start to take claim that we had something to do with it.
You know what we're going to have to do? We've got to keep this rolling, because once we're rolling, let's walk down there away from where the children are playing at the church.
Okay.
And we'll go down, but we'll keep talking.
Walking. All right. Are you
we'll
sure?
Just have
do,
to leave
do you want to pause that?
No. We can't pause,
okay.
No.
Okay.
And then it gets confusing with the editing, so we're getting up from our chairs. So we're out at Oceans
roll,
United.
Right?
Just leave this stuff for later. We'll come back for that. Yeah, so you keep talking.
So what I'm saying to you is where we get a glimpse of where I think the heart, we've got to look at the humility of Jesus himself, who did not claim to be anything more than a servant of the Father. And so we have that model to us there. But one of the things that I get a glimpse of humility and where we really are is, one, when we are at peace with our identity of who we really are. An adopted son, I'm an heir, I'm a priest. There are many things that we're called, and I'm a participant. I don't just belong to the kingdom of God. I get to be one of his agents. I get to be one of his ambassadors to share the invitation. I mean, how great is that? But when we realize how insignificant we really are in the greatness of who God is, now we start to get an understanding of what it really means to be his son. And then God's glory is seen. Who he is known. The one thing he asked the children of Israel, he says, look, I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to guide you through the desert. I'm going to protect for you. I'm going to give you bread and quail every day. Now, one thing I look for you is that you will not have any other gods. You will only be loyal to me. And that was a fair request of God that he asked of his people.
So let me ask you this. So Mary was visited by the angel. And the angel tells her she's going to have a child. She says, how can that be? I have not known a man. But she says, as you say, be it unto me. And it says that her faith became her righteousness. Abraham believed God. Yeah. His faith became his righteousness. Yeah. Zechariah goes in. He's in the temple, has a vision of an angel, and says, you're going to have a son, John the Baptist. And the angel says, because you didn't believe me, you're not going to be able to speak till the child is born.
But this is the problem is, we make God small. We want to see God move and act in predictable ways, in ways that are manageable, in ways that we've seen him before. But God doesn't work like that. Look at history. He is doing exceptional, extraordinary, divine things that had never been done in history. I just look at the disciples in the boat. They had seen withered hands, they'd seen demons being kicked out, they'd seen the dead raised, they had seen the sick and the blind opening their eyes. The extraordinary encounters that they had never witnessed before. The Pharisees didn't accept this because it didn't fit their preconceived ideas, and all they wanted to do was discount it, discredit it, or call him a follower of Satan.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m. or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie for sponsoring It's a New Day. We'd also like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting us.
Turn your ear to heaven and hear the noise inside, the sound of